Hey everyone, I'm Brahm with Ayahuasca Alchemy, formerly Medicine Journeys, and we have another podcast today, and once again, a returning guest, Dr. John Sheely, PhD, this time in a little bit of a different capacity than previous podcasts. John and I recently got together and did a private retreat. We did three ceremonies, illuminations, and the whole idea was to really focus on John. There was one other person there who was a close friend of John's, and we're going to talk to her in another podcast, but it's quite unusual for people to do private one or two people retreats with ayahuasca. Now, we see that with psilocybin, and we see that with maybe other things like 5-MeO and so forth, but I'm not aware of too many people who are offering private one-on-one or one-on-two retreats. And this retreat, the whole point was to get feedback from John and his friend Ashley about this ayahuasca alchemy concept, that is integrating the ayahuasca ceremony and integrating within that ceremony illumination, soul retrieval, and so forth. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And I feel very fortunate to have John to go through this ayahuasca alchemy process because he's a therapist and he's able to articulate his experiences more than the average Joe. So with all of that said, John, why don't you jump right in and tell us a story. Give us your feedback on your experience in doing this private retreat. We'll just let you let it rip, and then we'll riff from there.
It was, in a number of ways, it's one of the most powerful experiences I've had. I've had probably a dozen ayahuasca experiences, half a dozen, psilocybin, UFO, ibogaine, one of my first rodeo. One of the elements that I think was so powerful was that I was there with Ashley, and we have a close relationship. And then I have a very trusting relationship with you. So in a lot of ways, it was a crucible, a container, unlike any I've ever experienced. What that allowed was an opening to a state of mind, state of being, that in some ways reminded me of Bufo, in the sense of there's very little observer present. Then another interesting part of that was, is you could come up, and I don't know where we were, hour two or wherever we were, and said, John, are you okay? And I could turn to you and say, I'm fine. You said, what do you want to do? And I said, go back. And so I just dropped back in.
Yeah.
And that went on for me for hours to the point that even, I don't know when it would be, 4 or 5 hours later, I was still able to drop into the medicine very deeply, to the point that there was a separation of my awareness from the body. At one point, I hit the floor. I was standing up, which I shouldn't have been doing. And there were visuals coming through that were very powerful. And they were just like, bam, boom. And I didn't hurt myself, but it was just that the completeness of the separation from all the attachment issues and all the conditioning. And when I look back at it, one thing that was very unique about the experience was the depth of that healing. Mm-hmm. Transformation and the energy that was there, and that it got back to very basic conditioning, the conditional trauma that I grew up in. It tapped into that. There were a number of elements of it that was so powerful. Having the medicine and then 20 minutes later or so, feeling nothing's happening. The medicine's not very strong. I wonder what the deal is. And then this is another important piece of it, is you started with the Icaros. And it took me back to Bufo. It was like, okay, everything's here, except boom, now you're not. It's just sudden and deep and profound. I've never experienced that level of comfort and the medicine being so strong. Interesting mix. Uh-huh. And then, of course, your capacity to bring that on, because you're in that space too, to the degree that you're able to channel the Icaros and the energy and bring that energy into the room. So that was very powerful. And then when we talk about illuminations, what I found was very clearly, it's again back to a fundamental, foundational, developmental trauma for me. And there it was. It was just right there. And to be able to let that go. And then if we skip ahead to how does that stabilize in life, then just yesterday, that conditioning, that
pattern, that imprint,
it was triggered. And so I'm able to just drop into that energy and allow it to give it some room from a somatic experiencing perspective. Yeah. And that's healing in that very deep sense.
Can I key in on that, what you're talking about there? And this is really important to point out, because this is what happens with illuminations. First, we identify a pattern, which you did, and we did an illumination. And this was all enhanced by ayahuasca.
Oh, yeah.
And then went through the illumination. And of course, there's a sense of, oh, yeah, I released something there. But where the rubber hits the road is when you go out and get triggered. And what you're saying is super important. And this is why I interrupted.
Sure.
Is that you got triggered, you noticed the trigger. So definitely the neural pathways are still there. That's something that the illumination will not take care of. However, the energy that would normally, due to the trigger and the neural pathways, normally overtake us, hijack us, and cause us to do something irrational or feel irrational, that is greatly reduced or gone. Some cases it's completely gone. And what you're saying is it was greatly reduced such that you could make a skillful decision about it. Is that correct?
Yeah, I would say it's close to the reaction was pretty much not there. A much greater level of awareness was there, unplugging that reactive cycle that had been there for, again, since childhood. So just to emphasize, in all the experiences I've had with psychedelics, I've not gotten to that level, that injury, that conditioning, that trauma.
This is a good point to drill into too, is you commented that because you were in a private space with somebody you trusted dearly, you felt very comfortable letting loose and going deeper than you would in a large group.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
And again, like I mentioned, you could interact with me and I could turn to you. I could be present. And I could also notice what's going on with Ashley. And I would hear you ask her, is this okay? And she would just laugh. And she says, oh, that's the kind of relationship we have. So to be able to, whatever noise she's making or movement she's making or whatever else, I'm celebrating that as she was with mine. Yep. So see, that in itself was very powerful. So that brings in another person that is like reparenting in some way. The small little John says, is this okay? And then the feminine figure there says, I love it because I know he's healing. And then I just drop back in again, going in and coming out. It's just amazing. It really was.
And this would not be possible in a group setting because you would have felt considerate of others, which is nice. Two, let's not forget the medicine. The medicine knew, ayahuasca knew exactly where you were, what you were doing. And she was like, all right, this is a safe space. There aren't any people who we have to worry about around. So let's get John fully in it.
That's right.
And then on my end, during that experience, while you were doing your purging, you were making noises, you were moving around. At first, I'm like, is he okay? And that was the first check-in. And you're like, I'm great. Do not do anything that would bring this experience down. This is an experience I really want to be in. So I was like, okay, cool. That is awesome. And if we were in a large group, I would be concerned about the others, that it would be disruptive, because in a group of 15 people, you start making that noise and moving around like that, it brings all the attention to you, which could detract from their experience. And so normally we would come in, because we do have techniques to bring down the effects of the medicine. We have shamanic techniques to do that. But in this case, you were cool. I checked in with Ashley. She gave me two thumbs up. I was like, all right. She started laughing. I was like, all right, we're going to let them rule. And we did.
Yeah, and
it was really cool. This is something unique to doing private ceremonies or private retreats.
One place it takes me is what the potential this points to as far as working with committed, intimate couples. I believe that would require some preparation. and experiences before.
Yeah.
But to be able to get to the place that we were in could be tremendously healing in so many ways. She and I don't have any relationship stuff to heal. We get together and we allow each other to heal ourselves, which is very powerful in itself. The potential I saw in that was just, wow, what can we do for couples who are caught up in their mutual enmeshment, in their adaptive strategies, their developmental traumas, all the rest, to be able to be open and allow a partner, like she was open to me and all the noise and movement I'm making, I'm open to her to all the noise and movement she's making, and not be concerned. A big part of that is, I know you, I've set ayahuasca with you before, but that was a very different experience.
Uh-huh.
And some of that was just the monitoring of the people.
The group setting was wonderful, but you weren't allowed, you didn't feel comfortable to go as deep as you did privately.
That's right. Right? That's right. Yeah. Exactly right.
I see two potentials, and I think we've talked about two potentials, and one of them being couples. But let's narrow in on the couples, and that is, mm-hmm. if we have a couple who are in conflict, I would not think that this would be a great answer, but rather maybe doing a private retreat with the two of them together would be something that happens down the road in their healing process towards the end. Would you agree on that? Because ayahuasca being such a non-specific amplifier, you've got couples in conflict, putting them into ayahuasca in a private retreat together, that might amplify things in a direction we don't want to go. Does that make sense?
They would need to be very comfortable surrendering to ayahuasca.
Yeah.
If that were true, I don't know what the limitations are. I certainly agree with what you're saying. If we go in a state of conflict, because in some ways, it's what level of conflict are we in? Because we can have this unconscious battling that we have going on that we're not even aware of it, because it goes back so far. So it wouldn't be a beginner's experience, but I think it could be an experience that folks who they may have set of 50 ayahuasca experiences with groups, but they've never brought that energy, focus, and an openness. That's what I'm thinking about. I'm not thinking about the average person coming off the street. I'm thinking more about people who've had a lot of psychedelic experiences. And then they say, now, what can we do as a couple? Say, okay, you guys aren't likely to get all wigged out because one of you is crying or screaming or running around the room. I've probably seen that before. That's right. But to actually, what can be supportive for the foundation of this relationship? I don't know where else they could go for that.
Yeah.
And another thing about ayahuasca and this experience, even more so, is the medicine is still here. The medicine is still active. I can drop into that space fairly easily at this point after 10 days. And that's another piece of it. I would want to sign up for the level of connection with ayahuasca that a small pairing like we just had. What's the advantage? It doesn't stop just with the vent. It also continues because there's a deeper relationship with ayahuasca and the energy. And to me, that's one of the main gifts of this experience. So I would really say I'm in the medicine. After 10 days from having the medicine, I'm still in the medicine, especially when I do like I did yesterday and go out into the woods to feel that presence and to feel that energy. And it's all right here. I'm still tuned into that. It hasn't been worn away. And that's after a very busy therapy week I had last week. The folks I work with, in a lot of ways, that was very helpful. Because they could say, I can see you still basking in the glow.
So if I could summarize what you're saying is having a private series of ceremonies, because it was private, you're able to open, relax, and receive more than you normally would. And that's due to you, that's due to the medicine, and also to toot my own horn a little bit, I'm also sharing my medicine with just you and Ashley versus sharing the medicine with 15 other people. So there's a much more concentrated sharing of medicine from shaman to guest. And because of that, you are going way deeper during the retreat itself. And subsequently, the tail that we usually see with ayahuasca, there's this week, 2 weeks afterwards that you're still in the medicine and there are more synchronicities and revelations. This time around, because of the private nature, the focused energy in ceremony, the intensity and the openness that you experience, your tail is one deeper and mm-hmm. seems to be longer than previous experiences. Is that fair?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. There's other elements about this whole experience too. And okay. one of them was after the second ceremony, Ashley and I stayed up all night, which was a deep experience and was rewarding in a lot of ways. All night, hours and hours of just sitting outside, just having conversations. That's not a small thing. We're talking about what's our purpose. Let's journey together. Let's see how we can support each other to go deeper into our practice. So a lot happened sitting on the porch that I've never experienced it before. What I've experienced before in groups is some kind of folks will sit around and they'll talk about this or talk about that or whatever. It's like an active, almost aggressive integration of this experience. And let's see how deep we can go with it. Open up to emotions and open up to all sorts of things. Because the freshness of it and the medicine is still here. So what yep. if it's 8 hours later or whatever it is, doesn't make yep. any difference. We're still in the medicine. So that all night conversation and exchange and all that, very valuable. Again, unique to that experience.
Yep. Yep. And you and Ashley aren't a couple, you're friends, but in a couple or close friend situation, that yeah. can be absolutely amazing, as you said. And then we also spent hours and hours talking and going That's deep right. on various subjects. And so That's what right. I'm hearing from you is that the integration in a private setting is just second yeah. to none, really. We just can't do that. Because
it doesn't stop. The lack of distractions, the lack of having to worry about anybody else.
Yeah.
We were in a very wonderful crucible that I said 5 times already. I never experienced that. A huge part of that, as you've heard before from us, huge part of that was you're open to your vulnerability. You're open to your sharing. You're open to the medicine. And it was so clear 20 minutes in, and here come the Icaros. It's more than the singing. It's not like you're remembering some song from somewhere. It's really like now there's three energies that are being carried by Mother Ayahuasca. Mm-hmm. And we all trust each other. We know each other. And let's just see how far it can go.
Yeah.
And as I've experienced before, the connection with Mother Ayahuasca begins a week or 2 weeks before we ever get together. Just sure. opening up to it and saying, okay, now clean everything up. Stop doing everything that might distract from this.
Awesome. Awesome.
It really is.
Yeah. The other really cool thing about doing private retreats is the flexibility. Just from a logistical standpoint, this retreat that we did with you and Ashley, we started with a night ceremony starting mm-hmm. at sunset. And then we talked about it. After that first ceremony, I asked you both, do you want to do a day ceremony or an afternoon into night ceremony? And then we could mm-hmm. do a sunrise ceremony. So mm-hmm. everyone was like, get all the experiences. So we were able to do night as the first ceremony. Then we did afternoon into night. And then we got up at 4:30 in mm-hmm. the morning, which is a little rough. But then we had that mm-hmm. sunrise ceremony. So it started out dark and then had the sunrise come up. And we got to hang out on the porch all morning and after ceremony and still bathe in that medicine space and the sunrise. And we're in this beautiful natural environment out in the woods. It was fantastic. And then food too. I was like, what, you guys want this or that?
Delicious. Yeah, really good. That's right.
Well,
and we also had the birds along with the sunrise. The thing about being in a truly natural place, the birds in the country, as we might say here in Kentucky, it's so wonderful just to hear them start waking up and the volume. Wow. Listen how much life is around here. Listen how much connection to nature we're being invited into.
Yeah.
So that was a wonderful opportunity, which that's there at night to some extent, but nothing at all like the morning.
We were lucky to be in a location where not only were we in nature, but the temperature, the weather was such that during ceremony, we had things open and we could hear, particularly in the afternoon and morning ceremonies, we had a lot of that natural sound. Plus we had chimes going off in the background and the wind would blow and the rain would come and all of these things. And it was really, really lovely. that whole experience. So we talked about couples, and let's talk a little bit about someone who might want to do just a one-on-one. And what do you see the potential there?
Oh, I think it'd be great.
Yeah,
I think it would be nice, perhaps having a group, two or three groups or whatever with you, so uh-huh. they know you and trust you and connect with you. So then you just, now it's just the two of us. Off
yeah.
you go.
Yeah.
I suspect there would be a difference between men and women in that space.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I would definitely, if it was a woman who was doing one-on-one work with me, I would bring in another woman to sit with us, to, either as another facilitator or simply to hold space. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. But I had a question that came to mind, though, as you were saying that maybe for one-on-one work, some preparatory group work with ayahuasca would be appropriate. At the same time, I'm wondering, though, for someone who's afraid to go uh-huh. into the group ceremony uh-huh. context because they're afraid that they will make too much noise or what have you,
okay.
and they
okay.
want to start off that way, wouldn't that be equally okay. as valid?
I don't know. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think if there's a strong sense of trust and safety with uh-huh. you, then
right.
you don't have a problem.
And yeah, making that the first round of
yeah.
experience with ayahuasca, what comes to mind is someone who is afraid of what might come yeah. up for them, and they want to be in a space where it's just the facilitator mm-hmm. and them, the guest.
Yeah.
The other thing that comes to mind are people who maybe are in professions or they're concerned about public reputation and yet are really drawn to ayahuasca, that one-on-one retreat would be appropriate as well. Mm-hmm. Having that freedom and not worrying about other people, not worrying about public perception, so to speak. That makes sense?
Oh, absolutely. It makes a lot of sense to me. So I think it'd be marvelous in a lot of ways, particularly when you understand that because you're not dealing with 12 or 15 people, you have the energy and the presence to be with someone. And while they're doing that type of on-the-spot integration, I see the power of that one.
Yeah.
Among the others, too.
And then and we've talked about working together, about doing a package, if you will, for those who want to do private retreats. And that is like 10 hours with you, and they can choose mm-hmm.
Yeah.
where those 10 hours land. What's interesting is now with technology, and because it's a private retreat in this context, normally we'd be like, do several hours before the retreat with John and then do several hours post-retreat. But now, if we have a private retreat, you can do
right.
some integration work with Dr. John during the retreat
during
itself.
The retreat.
Because
That's
you know,
right.
with internet access, and we're not disrupting
right.
the rest of the group by doing some sessions
yes.
In the middle of the retreat, which is quite interesting.
Yeah, that sounds great. Because integration begins with preparation, and then have this experience after the ceremony to get the language and the view consistent with the map, the way they're seeing their healing occur, have an understanding about both their developmental and their episodic trauma, tying those together. And then
yeah.
and here comes another ayahuasca ceremony. And here comes another integration after that, another ayahuasca ceremony, and the integration after that.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That could be a very powerful combination.
Yeah, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. I think we've covered pretty much everything, unless you have something else that you'd like to share about this experience.
I really appreciate the opportunity. It was a gift.
Thank
Continues
you.
Continues to be a gift. Thank you.
Yeah. Cool.
Right.
Appreciate your time coming on to the podcast. And I always forget, I'm relatively new to YouTube, but if the audience, anybody in the audience likes this video, this podcast, please click and subscribe below. It helps the channel, helps us put out this content, and that would be greatly appreciated. And Dr. John, before I forget, what is your website? Because you specialize in psychedelic preparation and integration. You are a coach, and so where can people find you?
The easy one to remember is just bemindful.org, bemindful.org.
Excellent. And then I'm Brahm with Ayahuasca Alchemy, and you can find me at ayaalchemy.com or My Medicine Journey, singular, mymedicinejourney.com. Both of those URLs work, and you can find me via email at Brahm, B-R-A-M, at mymedicinejourney.com. with all of that said, thank you all very much for watching, and we will see you on the next one.
Siin uus elu ei avas ka lõtta ja mõtteid tronkoisi taas. Siin elu ei avas ka lõtta ja mõtteid tronkoisi. Põntai mõtteid kogati tola, siin tagi jõululu saa. Riidjääri jääne põrbei ja põuda põuda medesi. Claro, claro, despejado, mundo y mundo y enterito, irá, irá, de bombillo, pura, pura medesí. Limpia, limpia, cuerpo y cito, limpia, limpia, chungoinito, limpia, limpia, santitito, limpia, limpia, chungoinito. Poderosa medicina, poderoso Wiccana, poderosa medicina, poderoso Wiccana. Bala ninge, bala monge, todo malo pensamiento, todo, todo cruzamiento, arironda, donda, reina, arironda, donda, reina, arironda, donda, reina. Cure, cure, cuerpo y cito, pura, pura medicina, cuida ningue, cuida monge, sin ninguna aflicción. Alarimo, alarimo, pura, pura medicina, alarimo, alarimo, pura, pura medicina, arirana, 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 arirana. Versito yu cantana, suman sinti medesina. Versito yu cantana, suman sinti medesina. Legitimo doctorcito, poderoso wicana. Legitimo doctorcito, poderoso wicana. Alarimo, alarimo, pura, pura, lucito ene. Alarimo, alarimo, pura, pura, medicina. Ariranda, randa, rai, ariranda, randa, rai. Cuerpo y cito, cuna y ares, sin ninguna aflicción. Rico, rico y caro en y mesa y cita, cuna y ares. Arirana, arana, reina, arirana, arana, reina. Cielo, cielo, ayahuasca, alta y monta y tronco y cito.